Hello, my name is Sierra Epps, and today I'm speaking with Jaleel Wallace. We are conducting this interview as a part of the IUP Oral History Program's Coronavirus Collection. We are conducting our interview over the WhatsApp call around 10:30 a.m. my time. Thank you for joining me today. I just want to make sure I had your consent that this information will be used and processed through IUP and my oral history class. Do I have your consent today, Jaleel?
Yeah, absolutely. I have my consent.
Perfect. How are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. Thank you for asking. Very excited to do the interview.
Oh, well, I'm excited to have you here. So, I just want to get some basic information from you. Where are you from? How old are you? And are you in school?
I'm from the United States, born and raised in New York. I'm currently 26. I turned 27 in 2 months, December, and I am currently not in school, no.
Okay. Could you tell me, like, your exact location, like, where you're currently at?
Oh, right now, I'm currently in Malaysia, and it is 10:31 p.m.
What city in Malaysia are you in?
I'm in Kuala Lumpur, or KL.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Have you been there during the whole COVID, or just parts of it?
Well, I've been in KL for about 4 months out of the 7 months I've been here. The other 3 months I've been in two other places. One was Melawati, and the other place was Singapore.
And now, are these countries in Malaysia, or are they outside of Malaysia?
Oh, no, they're different cities in Malaysia.
So, can you repeat for me how long you've been traveling throughout Malaysia again? You said 4 months, right?
No, I've been traveling across Malaysia for 7 months now.
Okay. So, how long have you been in Asia in general? Have you been traveling from country to country or just city to city, specifically in Malaysia?
In total, I've been in Asia for about 10 months now. I left in January and it is currently October.
Wow.
And we have been moving from country to country, so I've been to about 7 countries so far.
And can you tell me which countries you've been to?
I've been to Japan, South Korea, the Philippines, Thailand, Singapore, Malaysia. I feel like I'm missing one. No, actually 6 countries, my mistake.
No, you were perfectly fine. Sorry if you hear brief pauses. I'm actually writing stuff down right now.
Yeah, no problem.
Okay. So, when do you remember hearing about COVID? What country were you in? Were you in the United States when you first heard about COVID, like on social media outlets or just the news in general? Or was your first remembrance of it while you were in Asia?
The very first time I heard about COVID was my first week of January when I was in Japan, and that was because my friend, his mom, was reaching out to him and letting him know that there's some virus going around and she just wanted to make sure that he was okay and everything. I remember at the time me and my friend really dismissed the situation because we just figured, oh, it's just a mom like overworking, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't really take it as anything too severe or anything like that.
And how long was that feeling like while you were in Japan? How long were you there? Did you end up leaving towards a certain point during COVID?
I was in Japan for about 2 weeks, and during the entirety of the 2 weeks, I really didn't notice anything out of the ordinary regarding what was going on with the outbreak. I did notice when I was leaving Japan, when I returned back into the airport, that they did have, what are those things called? Those temperature checkers?
Yeah, the heat scanners.
People's temperatures? Mm-hmm. Yeah, the heat scanners. So I did notice the heat scanners when we were actually flying out of Japan, but during my 2 weeks there, no, I didn't really notice anything. I didn't No, there were no news on media outlets. No one was wearing masks. Nothing like that was going on.
Okay. And so, where was the next place you visited after Japan?
The next place I went to was South Korea.
Okay. And what was it like there?
South Korea, that's when things got a little bit different. So, South Korea, I was in South Korea the third week of January. And during the third week of January, that's when a lot of news about COVID started picking up. So that's when we really started finding out about, like, what was going on in the States, what was going on in China and all that stuff. So that's when we really became more alert to it, to the point that me and my friend, we decided to just spend a whole entire week in South Korea, just spending most of our time indoors. We didn't really go out much. If we did go out, it was just to get food and come back. We didn't really go sightseeing or anything like that. I think what really like made us nervous was when we actually got alerts from the South Korean government on our phones. When we actually got those emergency alerts, that's when we really kind of figured that something serious was kind of going on. And when you're in another country and you don't speak the language and you have an emergency alert in a language you don't even understand, that can be pretty terrifying, you know?
Most certainly. Out of any of the countries that you visited, did you speak the language at all?
No, not at all. None of them.
Okay. Do you feel as though your time in South Korea, whenever you couldn't understand the messages, was it a fear of panic, or I can only imagine it was something that you would really see out of a movie, honestly.
Oh, absolutely. There was panic, you know. When you have emergency alerts popping up in your phone, you don't understand. You don't know what's going on. You don't know if that can mean the whole entire country is going to go into quarantine immediately, or you know, you don't know what that means. More so to the fact that I'm in an Airbnb, so you don't know what could happen. They could tell us, oh, you know what? No guests allowed in Airbnbs no more. They're not taking any foreigners in hotels. Because that's something that happened in Malaysia. You know, hotels weren't allowed to take guests. So what about the foreigners that are currently in the country, you know? So, yeah, there was a lot of fear in that. You know, definitely. Absolutely.
I can imagine so. Did anything like that happen to you while you were in South Korea that you felt as though you didn't have any home stability? Did you feel pressured to leave the country sooner than you expected?
No. In terms of, like, outside forces, no, not at all. In terms of, like, internally, did I want to, like, just go to the next country because I felt like things were hitting the fan there? Yeah, because there was that sense of things were escalating in South Korea. I remember I saw more people wearing masks and stuff like that. And one of the situations that actually brought light to what's going on was that when me and my friend were going shopping, we spoke with a guy, and he saw my camera equipment. He wanted to ask what I was doing. I told him that I was making YouTube videos. And I told him that I'm currently traveling around Asia to try to get footage and all that stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And what was interesting is that he said, oh, well, were you guys in China? And I told him, no, we weren't in China. And he's like, oh, that's pretty good, man, you know, because of what's going on and everything. So it's a good thing you didn't go there. So that really brought, like, light to what was going on. And, like, that gave me a little peek into, a little peek into what people were thinking over there, you know?
So it was an automatic jump on board, no one from China is allowed into South Korea. Was it sort of like that? Like they were already making restrictions and not accusations, but more so judgments based off of where people were going already?
I mean, I would assume so, because if their immediate response, well, at least for the guy I was talking to, was that, then maybe, but I don't know. You know, I don't want to say, like, oh, everyone, like, was just against them based off one guy, but that's just from my one personal experience. You get what I mean?
Yeah. So as soon as you landed in South Korea, was it a big difference from Japan?
Not necessarily, because you got to remember, like, during the first couple of weeks, when people were still finding out about what was going on, information was coming in quick, you know? So they'll say, oh, this is happening and that's happening or whatever. So literally the difference between my experience from day one in South Korea to, like, day three changed drastically just because of how fast information was coming in.
Oh, wow. Was your overall experience in South Korea good? Did you feel like an outsider because you are American? So did you feel like any tension arising while you were there or anything such as that?
My experience, it was good for what I could enjoy. Like, I couldn't, what sucked was, you know, the Chinese New Year and all that stuff, so I couldn't really attend those events and everything that was going on, even though those events were still going, and that just shows you a testament of, like, a lot of people didn't really know what they were dealing with as of yet. But, as an American and everything there, I didn't really notice any changes. It wasn't until, I think, when I was in Thailand, when I really noticed, like, people were being a little bit more hostile towards foreigners because of what was going on. But South Korea, no, not at all.
Okay, so it was an open, still pleasant, but also mask-wearing society.
Yes.
Okay, wonderful. And now, after you visited South Korea, did you say you went to Thailand or was it the Philippines?
After South Korea, I flew to the Philippines.
Okay, and tell me about your experience there. Whenever boarding the plane in South Korea, did they have the same heat monitors that they did when leaving Japan?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so you feel as though, or did you notice that people were just jumping on board very quick, like, as far as making sure things were secure, like, when traveling from country to country? Were there any other things you noticed in the airports between South Korea and the Philippines?
Not really, just more so the heat scanners and a lot more hand sanitizer, a lot more stations for hand sanitizer, but that was about it. Nothing too extreme or anything like that when I was flying from South Korea to the Philippines.
Okay, wonderful. So whenever you arrived to the Philippines, what was it like? Were people wearing masks? Were people social distancing? What was that experience like?
In the Philippines, completely different thing now. No one was wearing masks. No masks, no hand sanitizer stations at the mall, no social distancing, nothing like that. And I should note that I was in the Philippines for 3 weeks. I was in the Philippines from the last week of January to about mid-February. So in between that time, coronavirus news and information was, like, popping up more and more frequently. Case in point, a month from that time in March is when everything locked down. So things were picking up, but people were living business as usual in the Philippines, you know. I went to a couple restaurants, I went to a couple malls and everything. And, like, in hindsight, yeah, completely reckless because of, you know, what's going on now. But at the moment, you know, everyone on the street in life is normal. You kind of forget what's going on, you know.
Yeah, did you think that people in the area just thought, oh, it hasn't reached me yet, oh, we don't have any reported cases, it's okay to relax, like, nothing too serious is going on yet?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I remember right before flying to the Philippines, I believe they only had reported, I want to say, like, 14 cases or something like that, so there was no urgency whatsoever, you know? Given the fact that now, a couple months later, and then Philippines is one of the worst hit countries with the coronavirus, that really puts things into perspective. You get what I mean?
Yeah. Are you glad you left when you did? Like, did you plan on staying in the Philippines for longer than you did?
Yeah. Funny story. I was actually supposed to fly back to the Philippines in June. No. Yeah, in June. I was supposed to fly back to the Philippines in June, but because of what was going on, I ended up getting locked down in Malaysia, so I've been in Malaysia ever since.
Okay. So, while you were in the Philippines, do you regret not wearing a mask? Do you regret your actions? Or do you feel as though that was a time that you were able to not have to think about the pandemic, and you were actually able to enjoy your trip as, you know, a traveler outside the United States, traveling so far from home?
It's one of those situations where, do I regret not wearing a mask? Yeah, absolutely, because for all I know, I could have been, like, asymptomatic, and then I could have gave that to someone else and put their life at risk or whatever, you know? So when you really put things into perspective, like, yeah. But at the same time, did I enjoy my trip? I'm not going to say I didn't enjoy my trip. I did. Now, if you would ask me, would I do the same thing again? No, not at all. I'll wear a mask. I'll have hand sanitizer and all that stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. Just one of those things, like, what can you do? You know, you didn't know the information back then. It's a classic case of ignorance is bliss, you know?
Absolutely. Now, did you travel around from city to city in the Philippines? And if you did you see any differences between how they were treating it? Or was it all just the same throughout the country?
I was actually just in BGC in the Philippines. And I believe Makati I went to, or I'm not too sure. Maybe it was Makati, but for the most part, I was in BGC. And that was it. And in BGC, it's one of their more, well-established cities, you know? So I didn't really see what was like on the outskirts or how people on the outskirts of the city were living or dealing with COVID. I didn't really experience any of that.
Okay. So your next destination was Singapore, correct?
Yes.
Okay, whenever boarding the plane in the Philippines to get to Singapore, what was that like? Was there also still heat scanners going into the country? And what was it like when you entered into Singapore?
Singapore, so going from the Philippines to Singapore, were there heat scanners? Yes. Hand sanitizer? Yes. Masks? Not really. I noticed that the, what's it called? I'm not familiar with the word they use for the people who, like, give you snacks and everything on the plane. I'm not sure what they're called. But I noticed they were wearing masks, but it wasn't mandatory for passengers to wear masks. The thing that, like, threw me off now, though, when I got to Singapore was that we landed in Changi Airport or something like that. It's basically, like, one of the world's top-rated airports, and it's, like, a very big tourist attraction. So one of the things me and my friend noticed when we got there was it was almost empty, like, almost empty, you know, not a lot of people there. And when you go to literally one of the world's biggest attractions, you know, and it's almost empty, that shows you something serious is going on. People didn't want to be there. People that I did see, they had masks on and everything. So that was a little bit mind-boggling, you know?
Do you know if the country ended up enforcing any type of travel ban or travel restrictions while you were there or even after?
Currently, when I was there, third week of February, no, there were no travel bans. People weren't wearing masks, but it wasn't mandatory. There was hand sanitizer and everything like that, but that was it. I didn't really notice anything too extreme, you know. But the perspective of that is that literally a month later, you asked me if they went to a quarantine. Yeah, literally, I want to say 3 weeks later from the time I was there, they had their borders closed down.
Oh, wow. So are you glad you left when you did so you have the opportunity to keep traveling?
Oh, absolutely. Singapore is very expensive, so I'm very happy I didn't get stuck there.
Okay. And what was your experience like in Singapore? Did you travel around? Did you get to see any interesting sights, anything such as that?
Traveling around Singapore, it was, fun. I experienced a few sites. I went to the Jewel, which is like another big thing at the airport and everything. So, it was business as usual, you know. There were more hand sanitizer stations. People were wearing masks. I guess it's because a lot of people are still, if I had to gauge what the mentality was, I guess it was more of a, you know, what we still don't understand, but, you know, be a little bit cautious. But either way, we don't really take it too seriously. You get what I mean?
Yeah, I definitely understand that.
So I definitely think that was more so the mentality when dealing with Singapore. People were friendly. No one were very, no one was disengaging. No one was afraid to get close to people or anything like that. But they did try to do their best to, like, you know, keep proper hygiene up and everything with masks and hand sanitizer, stuff like that, you know?
So they were giving people the option to stay protected if they wanted to and all that?
Yes, it wasn't mandated.
And what was the timeline that you were in Singapore?
Singapore, only a few days. Not too long. It was the third week of February.
All right. Is there anything you would like to add about Singapore? Anything you noticed, anything you witnessed, heard, or encountered before I move on to the next country?
Outside of, like I said earlier, outside of the, you know, world's biggest airport, number one rated airport and everything being like a ghost town, no, that was about it. The reason why I say that is because that was like the most mind-boggling experience, because anytime I watch videos, like I said earlier, you would always see those places packed with people, so to not see that and everything, I think that really gives you an idea of what everyone was thinking, you know?
Yeah, people just had the idea in their head that, you know, something was actually going on.
Yeah.
Okay, wonderful. And then the next country you visited, was that Thailand or...
Thailand.
Okay, so whenever you left Singapore and entered Thailand, what was that like? Did they also have heat scanners as well, hand sanitizers, social distancing, things such as that?
So, the thing with Thailand now, right, yeah, they had heat scanners, they had all that stuff going on. The thing with Thailand is that when I was in Thailand, you know, friendly people, obviously, you know, but there were quite a few cases where you could tell, like, they weren't too fond of foreigners, you know. They weren't too fond of foreigners being there, mainly for the fact that I hear people, I forgot what the word they were using, like Frang or something like that, some F word or whatever, right? But basically it meant that they didn't like foreigners there. I didn't really like foreigners there. It's because they felt like they were bringing the coronavirus to their country and everything, you know? So they were very upset with that. And what sucks is that being in Thailand, you know, I wore a mask and everything, but you would see people partying, a lot of people from, like, a lot of different countries, like, who are clearly tourists partying, not wearing masks, and, like, no disregard, you know? And it sucks because I feel like if Thailand probably had a mask mandate earlier, they wouldn't have gotten hit as hard as they did. And what sucks more is because they're a country that relies heavily on tourism. The fact that the very lifeblood of what they need to basically survive is what's essentially poisoning them, if you will, you get what I mean? So that whole thing in itself sucks.
I can imagine so. Did you ever have any personal encounters yourself where you felt any type of hostility as being an American, or anything such as that? Or did you feel as though you stood out because you are a foreigner and there was such an emphasis on foreigners being in the country?
I mean, well, I'm a black American, so I definitely feel like I stood out, you know? And were there any, like, specific hostility to me? No, but were there opportunities, were there situations where, you know, they would tell me, hey, you know, make sure you have your hands out, test everything like that. Oh, yeah, they were very aggressive with that, like, I gotta have to make sure I sanitize my hands and all that stuff. I don't think they would have been as aggressive to the people from Thailand or whatever. It's one of the stories where I believe that maybe that's just a foreigner, and, you know, they feel like we are the curse or whatever, so, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I definitely understand that. So as a black American traveling throughout Asia in general, what was your experience on that? Because I've heard other experiences from other friends who have been to, like, China and such, and as much as they loved the experience, they knew that they were an outsider as soon as they, you know, entered into the country. Did you feel that way in any of the countries you were in?
Oh, absolutely, you know? Absolutely, in all countries I've been in, actually. Less so in Malaysia, but, I would say Japan, South Korea, Thailand, Singapore, definitely felt like I was an outsider because, yeah, you don't see a lot of African Americans. You don't see a lot of black people, you know. You don't see a lot of them, let alone people who are also there for tourism. You don't see a lot. Well, you definitely get stares, you know. You definitely get stares. And I'm fortunate that I wasn't in the region, because I remember how people say experience will...
Sorry, you're starting to pick up a little bit.
Or touch the hair or whatever like that, because, like... What was that?
You were just starting to break up a little bit. Can you repeat what you were saying, please?
Hello?
Hello?
Okay. Yeah, so I was saying, I forgot what I was saying. Okay.
You were talking about being a Black American. I think you were talking about South Korea, it was... Singapore?
Okay. No, I was saying, for Japan, South Korea, Singapore, and Thailand, you know, being a African American, being a black guy in Asia, yeah, you know, you definitely stand out. People do stare. That's something you cannot avoid. People will stare, you know? It was a little jarring when I was in Japan, but over a couple months, I just got used to it, you know? Even in Malaysia, you know, I still get stares every now and again, but it is what it is at this point, you know?
Yeah, that's definitely understandable. Was there, like, a heavy emphasis on the coronavirus in Thailand? Like, did you receive any alerts while you were there, such as those received in South Korea?
Interestingly enough, South Korea was the only country I actually got emergency alerts from. Everywhere else, no. So, yeah, in Thailand, no, I didn't receive any alerts. Like I said before, you could tell that they were becoming more aggressive towards foreigners. They felt like foreigners were bringing the virus, which in their defense they were, bringing the virus to their country and everything. They weren't respecting their policies to social distance, weren't respecting their policies to use hand sanitizer or wear a mask. So you just have a lot of that stuff going on, you know. So it sucks when, you know, people who rely on tourism to survive, and those tourists who are coming there aren't even respecting protocol just to keep everyone safe. It's a lose-lose situation for everyone, you know?
Most certainly is, The next country you went to and are currently in is Malaysia, right?
Yes.
Okay. And so, did you go into lockdown during your time in Malaysia, or did you go in lockdown during your time in Thailand, or quarantine?
I went into lockdown in Malaysia literally, I want to say, 3 days after arriving in Malaysia. So, within 3 days, the whole country went into lockdown.
What city were you in whenever you began lockdown?
I was in Melawati.
Okay. And what was the procedures there? So whenever you entered the airport into Malaysia, were people wearing masks, social distancing? Were there heat scanners as well whenever you entered the Malaysian airport?
When I entered, yeah, there were heat scanners. There were hand sanitizer, masks, and again, not really. I don't think masks really got picked up until Malaysia went to the MCO, which was known as the Movement Control Order. And the Movement Control Order got enforced as of March 14th, I want to say. So, yeah, not really a mask mandate until March 14th, in which case they went to very, very strict quarantine protocols and all that.
And what was it like? What was your daily routine while you were in quarantine?
Stay home. You know, what else can you do? I remember looking at roads right before MCO, you know, very busy, and realizing that during the MCO, you know, no one is driving. Let alone, too, another thing that was really scary was when I had to change Airbnbs. During the MCO, they did a thing where each city was locked down, so you couldn't go from one city to the next city. You had to stay in that one city. So I didn't know that. So when I was booking my next Airbnb, I booked the Airbnb into Kuala Lumpur, which is the next city. So when I was taking a Grab, the Grab driver got to a military checkpoint. I didn't even know they had military checkpoints in between cities. So the military checkpoint, the military guys, they don't even want to let me go into Kuala Lumpur. They wanted me to go back, but I told them, hey, I can't go back, you know. I don't have a place to stay back there. I have to go over here. My Airbnb's in the city. And they weren't even going to let me until the Grab driver actually spoke with them. So that's a little bit of information on that there, you know.
That sounds like such a stressful situation. Was there a language barrier between you and the military officers?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I'm arguing with a guy who has a rifle, you know, in his hand. That's not fun. That is not ideal whatsoever. You know, he has a rifle and everything. My passport is expired, but the MCO allows people with expired passports to stay in the country until the MCO lifts. So, fortunately, while I'm legally within the rights of that, you don't know what they know, you know. For all I know, they're not informed of that information. I also read on Reddit that, you know, American foreigner got arrested illegally because they thought he was trying to live in Malaysia on expired passport. They didn't know about the rules, so that's quite common. So when you have that going on, and again, you know, he has the gun in front of me, you know, not like he's pointing a gun at me or whatever, but he does have a gun in his hand because that's how they station themselves there. It's scary as fuck. I mean, crap.
It's okay. It is okay to live on.
But yeah.
I heard you say something about Reddit. So during your time in Asia, I know you didn't speak any of the languages and there was an obvious language barrier between you and the people you were around. First off, did you have anybody to help you interpretation throughout your time? And also, how did Reddit influence your time in all of the countries as a whole?
In terms of interpretation, no, not at all. And in terms of Reddit was a big help. You know, when you don't know what's going on, or if you need to know about what's going on in the country, and you just go to, like, the country's Reddit, and you'll always find, like, American tourists talking about experiences that are going on in real time, you know? So, yeah, a lot. That helped me a lot to navigate what to do and how to figure things out. But without that, I would probably be in a worse-off situation than I am right now, you know? So, yeah, definitely a big help.
So, if you have opportunity, would you meet up with other tourists from Malaysia who are currently in your situation through Reddit? If you had the opportunity.
I met with other people on Reddit, but I didn't, like, meet them in person. But, wait, sorry, can you repeat the question one more time?
Yeah, of course. I was just wondering if you had the opportunity to possibly link up with other people, like Americans or just tourists, that are currently in the same predicament as you are as a tourist in Malaysia, would you?
If I had the opportunity to meet up with them, would I? Not really, because I'm in a mindset where I just really want to stay to myself during this quarantine. I don't want to get sick or anything like that. But do I talk to them in the groups and all that stuff? Yeah, absolutely, because that's where we all get our information. That's where we share our experiences. If someone goes to immigration to talk about their passport or whatever, they'll post it in the Reddit thread, so they'll post it in a Facebook group for tourists, so everyone can know what to expect and what's going on and all that, you know?
Yeah. Have you been using any other sites besides Reddit? Have you used, like, Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram?
I've used Facebook groups to get information as well.
Are any of your other social media apps blocked while you're in, or have been blocked, or even any of the countries that you've been in?
No, everything is currently working, so Yeah, my Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all that has been working nonstop, no matter which country I've been in.
Okay, wonderful. Without the use of Reddit, do you think you would have been able to maneuver and just get around as well in Malaysia, Singapore, Philippines, or any other country you've been in?
No, not at all. If it wasn't for Reddit, I would have spent a lot more money just trying to figure things out and survive. So, no, Reddit has definitely been helpful.
Okay, okay. And so, back to the lockdown and quarantine in Malaysia. What were some things that were able to get you by? Because I know staying indoors is obviously not ideal, especially while you're traveling in a foreign country. You know, you will want to see what's going on outside and, you know, enjoy your time. But, you know, being so far from family as well, what was, like, you know, your mental and emotional state? How did you feel about the pandemic? Were you scared? Did you not know what was going on? Things such as that.
Was I scared? Absolutely, because, you know, I don't know what's going on, you know, and it's scary to know that, like, all right, if you see a house on fire, obviously, you know, you can keep yourself safe, you know, don't go into the house on fire or whatever, just stay away from danger, you get what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that with a disease that's invisible, you just don't know, and I guess it's that constant fear of not knowing if you're in vicinity, like, if you're in the range of that danger, that it's scary, you know? More so to the fact that when you have family, literally on the other side of the world, you don't know what's going on with them, you don't know how things are affecting them. It's just scary to think about. You don't want anyone to get sick, you know? My aunt ended up catching coronavirus and was on a ventilator for, I want to say, 1 week or 2 weeks or something like that. So, like, you know, it's just scary. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
That just bothered me. The past the time, me and my girlfriend, we basically just watched movies. I worked on a few YouTube videos to try to really get back into my hobby of video editing and all that stuff. That went on for a couple weeks, but then it just got to the point where it just felt like the same thing over and over and over again. I found myself waking up to read a whole bunch of negative news about what's going on in the world. Oh, this country's in lockdown. This country's banning people. There's an outbreak here. America just hit 1 million, whatever. 1 million cases. It just became a flaw to just wake up every morning. So after dealing with that for a couple months, I would say probably we were in a rut for about 1 month, 2 months. After that, we really decided to be more proactive in what we were doing, you know. We took up meditation. We took up really just trying to figure ourselves out. We took up reading a lot of, like, self-improvement stuff and everything. Just anything to try to get into that mindset of just trying to be positive and hopeful for a better tomorrow, you know.
Yeah, and that's wonderful you took those steps. I feel as though self-reflection was a lot of things that people end up going through during this quarantine, because this is the time that we actually had time. So,
yeah.
Now, was there any country that you were completely alone in? Like, you had no one with you? When did, because I remember you saying that in Japan you were with your friend, and then you're currently with your girlfriend as well. When did, you start linking up with certain people?
I've actually been with someone throughout this whole entire trip. So I was with my friend was with me basically until Malaysia, and then he left the second month after Malaysia.
I was going to ask, so I know the whole immigration and passport situation, he was able to leave the country, but were you able to leave the country?
I chose not to leave the country because I didn't want to. I don't want to be on a plane. I'm very, very, I'm very afraid of catching the disease to the point that I don't want to do anything that can put me at risk, you know? And then, you know, what ended up happening is that he ended up catching coronavirus anyway, you know? So, yeah, that's kind of why I don't want to do any traveling.
Okay. Okay, I understand that. So has it been easier having someone with you during this time so that way you're not completely stranded in another country?
Absolutely, yeah. It definitely helps with the mental toll, you know. I don't think I could have done this by myself, not at all, you know. So, yeah, definitely.
Okay, okay. And so I remember you saying something about how you were afraid to just travel in general. So if you had the opportunity, I'm guessing you wouldn't come back to the United States, but would you at all?
If I had the opportunity to pick, I would rather stay here. Just for the fact that, you know, I don't want to be on a plane and take, like, God knows who. And I don't want to go being a... I basically think they're, like, what's the word? I don't want to be in any area where I feel like I'm just getting stuck because of so many people out there, you know? So, I'm happy that I'm here for right now. Because we are currently in our MCO or CMCO, we're in some sort of moving order. I'm allowed to stay in Malaysia until January 14th. So, if I can stay here until January 14th, I'll definitely pick that up, you know?
Yeah. And what are your plans after COVID? Where do you plan on going after Malaysia? Do you plan on staying in Asia a little bit longer, or would you come to the United States? Because I don't know if you've been keeping up with American news, but cases are skyrocketing by the daily. We're getting 40,000 reports at a time now.
Oh, yeah. I definitely keep up with American news, you know. And that's kind of the reason why I really don't want to go. One of the reasons why I really don't want to go back is because, all right, let's assume that a vaccine comes or whatever, you know. I still think it's going to take a couple years before we see, like, any sense of normality. But I can say now that I don't want to, what's the word? I don't want to get locked within the United States. I feel like there's a part of me that feels like it's going on the trend that they're doing. I think other countries are just going to straight up end them from traveling. You're not going to be able to travel internationally anymore because people don't want people from the United States in their country because of the spreading of COVID. And I personally don't want to be in a country where the symbols weren't masked. I think of it as people do that. Do the right thing. Wear a mask. All right, you have medical issues or whatever. Okay, I get that. But if not, just wear a mask. It doesn't hurt. It helps the people. It helps your neighbor or whatever. Let's try to do the right thing. You get what I mean?
Yeah, so wearing a mask hasn't become a political circumstance in any of the countries you've been to?
No, not at all. At least if I haven't been, like, aware of it, but no, I've checked the Reddit threads. There's no, like, conversations about arguing about whether or not you should wear a mask, nothing like that. You know, it's a mandate. People follow the mandate, and people just keep on living their lives.
Okay, wonderful. So I do have some more questions about the United States and your thoughts on how we're handling the pandemic. Is it okay if I ask those?
Yeah, no problem.
Okay, perfect. So, if you were in the United States during the height of the pandemic, would you have continued to stay in the States or would you have left for your trip to Asia? Like, if you were here in January... or not even January, around March or February, whenever we first started to get, like, a few more cases in the United States, would you still have went on your trip to Asia?
If I was able to? Yeah, absolutely. I have a very, very fight mentality of getting the hell out of anywhere where things are getting progressively worse. My mentality is just get to safety, you know? So if you tell me that I'm in an area where 1,000 cases are popping up, like, every day or whatever, I'm going to relocate.
Okay. And were there any military action done in any of the countries? Like, was there a lot of police informing? Anybody getting arrested for not wearing masks or fines or citations such as that?
Oh, yeah. People get arrested all the time, you know. Because, like, all right, so even though there's a mandate and everything, I would say, like, a majority of people follow it, but, you know, I follow Malaysian news every day as well, and, you know, every few days you'll get the article, oh, they arrested, like, 20 people here, 20 people there for breaking the protocol, you know. So that definitely does happen, and the thing here is that if you get arrested for that, you'll get fined a lot of money, or actually go to jail. And you know, like I've seen news reports that people get once worth of jail time for it, so it's definitely no joke here, you know.
Yeah, and do you believe
even when what was that?
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, even when the MCO first started, I remember reading an article where you're not supposed to go, during the MCO, you're only allowed to go to a supermarket 100 yards, or not yards, like, it's like within a 100-something distance, so like you can only go to the nearest supermarket, you can't go to another supermarket if it's outside of your range. And I remember reading an article where a woman... she went to another supermarket because she just wanted to pick up a birthday cake for her boyfriend, and she got arrested for it because they said, oh, you're going to this supermarket where it's not even essential for you to go here to pick up something that's also not essential. She got arrested for that. So you definitely don't want to, like, break the rules here, you know?
So they were really adamant about the whole, if it's not essential, do not leave your house.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
And do you believe that if the way the United States governed, the way that certain Asian countries did as far as the mandate, would we be in the same circumstances right now? Or would you decide to travel home if there was less cases? Or do you just prefer being in Asia overall?
If there were less cases, hell, if there was a better handle on everything else going on, yeah, absolutely, I wouldn't mind, you know? I would at least know that. If I'm going back to the States, I'm not putting myself at risk of people who want to not wear masks because of the sense of, oh, it's my right or whatever, you know? Because even that alone, that would trick me, that would piss me off, you know? So if there were less cases and there were strict mandates, then yeah, I would be more comfortable being back home. Absolutely.
Okay, wonderful. Finally, what were your goals after, you know, originally before COVID hit? What were some of your goals? What were the things you were planning on doing and that you had your hopes set out for?
Okay, so before COVID hit, the whole reason why I went on this trip was that I wanted to build up a strong YouTube channel. We'll travel to different destinations, go to a lot of stuff and just vlog my experience, you know, have a good time. And I did that for a little bit until, you know, the lockdown happened and I realized I can't even travel anymore, you know, and that just put me off to the whole vlogging thing because it's like, I wanted to make content that I enjoyed and I was making content to just try to, like, have something out every week. And it came to the point where I just couldn't make content anymore because it's like I'm making content in-house, you know? So I want to travel. I want to experience, like, actual fun stuff that Malaysia has to offer, but I can't do that because of what's going down. So that was the goal that quickly got shafted because of the coronavirus. So now what I'm currently doing is that my girlfriend and I we're basically writers, and we're just doing that for a bit until hopefully things could get better, and then once things get better, I could go back into doing YouTube again, you know?
Okay, that sounds wonderful. All right. Lastly, is there anything else you would like to add? Any other information you would like to provide about your overall experience, life in general, any advice you would give to your future self? You know, anything such as that.
Say, if anything, just, like, if I had to give advice to my future self, just, like, keep working out and just stuff like that, you know? It's very easy to just fall into a rut being in the house every single day. That gets depressing. Like, you need sunlight, you know? So just working out, walking outside, doing the stuff like that just to try to get, like, sunlight and everything like that, that's a big plus. It's very good for your mental health. You really can't, like, what's it called? You can't underestimate how important your mental health is, especially during this, because, again, for a lot of people, you're just alone with your thoughts, you know? So you don't have a proper way to cope with that. Yeah, things can get dark pretty quickly, so if I had to give advice to anyone or anything like that, just try to be as healthy as possible and try to keep your mental state as clear as possible, and that would be a big benefit, you know?
Okay, wonderful. Well, thank you so much for conducting the interview with me. I learned a lot of information, and I really appreciate it. So, all right.
No problem. Very happy to do.
No problem. No last closing thoughts, nothing like that, or anything?
No.
All right, wonderful. Well, thank you, Jaleel. Have a wonderful day.